over Baghdad has been illuminated. We're seeing bright flashes going on all over the sky.
And welcome to another episode of Radio Contra, the podcast of American Partisan, the home of the Goon Squad and the Mossy Oak Militia. I'm your host, NC Scout, coming to you live from rural northern North Carolina. Still on the radio, still on the air, despite all of the efforts to shut us down, and boy, do we have one hell of a show for you today. So, first and foremost, since the last time we spoke in episode 19, COVID-19 was kind of on us, and there was a lot of unknowns about that. If you go back and listen to some of the previous episodes of Radio Contra, there was a lot going on, a lot of uncertainty, and a lot of folks saying, you know, hey, people in the medical profession, hey, give us those 2 weeks and social distancing and isolation and all that. Well, here we are now, 2 weeks turned into 2 months or longer. They took and took and took and took and took. And there were protests, lots of them. People that were losing their businesses, their livelihoods, going out, peacefully protesting, while armed, but peacefully protesting. And they were labeled domestic terrorists by many figures on the left, most notably Hillary Clinton, and I wrote a piece about that. So we're going to be domestic terrorists, huh? And how prophetic was that? That right after that, juxtaposed to armed peaceful protest, however armed, we now see that a criminal who was resisting arrest, who unfortunately died in police custody, and we're not even gonna go down that rabbit hole yet, but that's just the facts, sparked this nationwide protest turn riot. And yet these people are not labeled by those same leftist voices as being terrorists. And I wonder why. Well, don't have to wonder too long, right? We already know. We already know what it's all about. It has nothing to do with a guy who died in police custody, but it has everything to do with overthrowing the order of the United States. You see, we're in the middle of a full-blown color revolution. And in case you did not know what a color revolution was or is, it was the intersection of multiple social forces working in earnest, usually linked through music, as well as underground cultural references to some sort of oppression to overthrow the existing order. We used it to great effect. Yes, we, the United States, used it to great effect in the former Soviet bloc nations, overthrowing them. And in fact, most recently, the Arab Spring and the unrest in Ukraine, which led to civil war, as well as the protests in Hong Kong. They were all similar tactics to what was used during these color revolutions. And if you've got an afternoon or two, dig into that. You'll see quite a bit written by a guy named Zbigniew Brzezinski. Mika Brzezinski of MSNBC. It's her dad. Interesting guy. Very interesting guy. Anyway, big picture of what's really going on. and it's not going to stop. Some folks have called for military intervention. Some have said that they're not so sure if that's even going to work out as planned. And I'll tell you, it's probably not. I'm not going to be one of those rosy voices on the right, like the daytime talk show hosts, the Glenn Becks, the Rush Limbaughs of the world, telling you that everything's going to be just dandy. And remember to vote in November, right? One of the hashtags that's currently trending on Twitter is No November. They don't want to make it to an election because they know they are running a lame duck, dementia-riddled nightmare of a candidate, and no selection of a Stacey Abrams community organizer is going to fix anything that that idiot has already screwed up. They don't want to make it to November, folks. They have no intention of making it there. And I hope that I'm wrong. I pray that I'm wrong. But with that said, got a text from a friend of mine who is in the Naval Special Operations community currently. And he said, you know, this looks an awful lot like regime change overseas. And I said, yeah, it does. He said, I would expect you to know. And I said, yep. Considering he and I have some pretty serious common academic bona fides, worked together on a number of projects prior to him going into the military, I would say, yeah. You know, we kind of recognize the things that are going on. So, you know, that's like saying water is wet, though. We know. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you're one of a couple of categories. You're either, you either have a clue about a clue, and you're here, and that's what led you to be here, to listen to this podcast. Or you're part of the opposition, listening to see if you can get any information. Yeah, that's right. I know y'all are listening to, been following some of your activities over on Facebook and elsewhere, over on Reddit. I know you guys pay attention to this stuff. I've seen you. I've seen what you've said, too. Good information, but man, this is a far-right podcast. Yeah, it is. And so that's part of the reason for the intermittent schedule and part of the reason why sometimes I'll talk about commo stuff and sometimes I won't. Sometimes I'll talk about whatever the hell I want to talk about. Because that's just the way it goes. It's mine. I'll do what I want. Right? And that leads me to my next point. Because I've had my ear to the ground and I've had some of my folks who I've trained and work with who have been embedded in all this. There's a number of indicators out there, and one most notably made national news. It was up on Drudge Report that there was some jamming going on with the Chicago Police Department radio system in the midst of a riot. And it was. I heard the tapes. It was definitely happening. All the signs were there. You folks that have been to one of my signals intelligence courses, you know those signs that I've listed for you, what to recognize when you have been compromised. And I was listening to the NYPD scanner last night on one of the scanner apps that's out there. I don't remember which one it was, because there's several. And they were being jammed, too. And they were being actively jammed through two methods. They had their traffic that was being recorded and replayed to confuse. They also had a siren that was, I've heard it before in The Purge, and that's probably where they got it from. But they were playing that as well. And also just interfering with dead air. they were doing that. I was listening to it, recognized the signs, said, huh, you know, this is a major step up in capability. Folks, this is not a simple street protest. This is not people are just upset because of whatever. This is a level of sophistication, and a pretty serious level of sophistication. And if you think that this is going to go away, if you think that these people are just going to fade out, that this is going to fizzle out and it's going to end in a peaceful conversation, as our leftist pundits are so fond of telling us, the talking heads are so fond of telling us, no, it's not. They have no intention of peace in our time. So, getting back to Antifa and electronic warfare and the electronic warfare that's been conducted, we have intercepted some traffic. It says a lot of this training is coming from a group called the Center for Applied Nonviolent Action and Strategies, also known as CANVAS. There's a Wikipedia page for it, and from that says, the Center for Applied Nonviolent Action and Strategies is a nonprofit, non-governmental, educational institution focused on the nonviolent or the use of nonviolent conflict based in Belgrade, Serbia. It was founded in 2004 by Srda Popovic and the CEO of Orion Telecom, Slobodan Dinovic. Both were former members of the Serbian youth resistance movement, Otpor, which supported the overthrow of Slobodan Milosevic in October of 2000. Drawing upon the Serbian experience, CANVAS seeks to educate pro-democracy activists around the world in what it regards as the universal principles for success in non-violent struggle. So they're a communist group. Interestingly enough, they're a communist group that we probably trained, knowing that time frame and some of the things that were going on around that time frame, and having met some of the assets that were working in that area at the time. And of course, I was a very young man, not yet out of high school at that time, but in my travels and life experiences, I've run into some people that were working there. You know, these guys were commies too. They were just a different breed of commie, because it's always easy to stand up to whoever's at the top, the power structure, right? But one of the things that they're teaching, one of the things that they are instructing their folks on, their Communist International, is conducting electronic warfare, and it is effective. So that's all the more reason why I teach the things that I do in class, in the RTO course. You know, and I've had a lot of former law enforcement and guys that kind of have military communications backgrounds, and they have a lot of old habits, bad habits that we try and break. Because you got to understand something. At our level, where we are and what we're doing, it is clandestine communications so that you're not interfered with. If you take your communications considerations and you apply conventional principles to it and conventional wisdom to it, you're going to end up failing. All right? It's just a fact. And when an organization like the NYPD and the Chicago Police Department, with all of the sophistication and resources they have, if they are being interfered with, then what are they going to do with you? Don't say it can't happen. All right? It's all the more reason it underscores proper training. So moving down the list, the next thing, big news event that has happened, Western Rifle Shooters Association has been taken down as of yesterday on or around 1800 Eastern Time. Got the heads up and immediately was in contact with Concerned American, the site, the owner over there. Well, I should say the guy that ran the site over there, but it's been taken down. And one thing that you need to know is that he was using a freeware version of WordPress. So WordPress has .com websites and .org websites. And with a .com website, a lot of those are free, right? Any of the websites you see that say, you know, the website name, then .wordpress.com means that it's owned by WordPress. And they dictate the terms. I mean, it's just like having an account on Facebook or on Twitter or, you know, Gab, any of the others. If you violate those terms of service, they're going to yank your account. And that it just is what it is. WordPress is, and running a blog is another form of social media, a much more in-depth form, much more open-ended form of social media, if you will. But it is still a form of social media. And basically with WordPress, you know, a couple of years ago, we started seeing accounts on Blogger, YouTube channels and whatnot that were being taken down. And Jesse James and myself saw that as, you know, we need to start covering our bases. We need to take responsibility for ourselves and, you know, own our own domain and start creating our own infrastructure. And that way these kind of things aren't going to happen to us. Now, it's been an uphill battle, folks. I'm not going to lie to you. I spend anywhere between 5 and 7 hours a day just maintaining the site. It's rough. It is rough. And that is intermittently between all of the other things that I do all day. I am constantly monitoring the site, right? You know, I spend every night until about midnight just cranking out content, trying to keep the site going, all the maintenance things that go into it. And I'm not the only one doing it. You know, we've got other guys. Every one of the people that you see that write for American Partisan have a hand in securing the site because we have to spread those tasks around. And I'm telling you, running your own website with everything in-house and all of the things that we've had to do and all of the storms that we've had to weather, the online attacks, you know, from nation states, from individuals who are just, you know, ticked off because they, you know, you say something they don't like or whatever. You know, we've had to deal with a lot, but the Lord blessed the broken road that led us here, right? We knew this day was going to come. We knew the day that they were going to start yanking people's sites offline, right? We knew that it was going to come, and that was why we prepared ourselves. So for all the folks who have sent me emails and asked, you know, hey, why don't you, you know, get over on iTunes so I can listen to you a little easier, you know, and download it and listen to it on the way to work. Hey, brothers, I hear you. I hear you, and I appreciate you wanting that easier path. But let me explain something to you. They're going to start yanking people off of those platforms for violations of terms of service. It's going to happen. It's already happening, right? And if you're already used to listening to us here, right, you're used to listening to Radio Contra here on American Partisan, where it is hosted, then you'll always know where to find it. So I'm sorry that it is not always the most convenient for you, because believe me, it's not the most convenient for me here either. But I do it this way, and we are doing it this way, so that once we're deplatformed, or so that we're not deplatformed, it's going to be a lot harder to deplatform us. So, you know, it is what it is. But what I'll also say is that none of this is possible without funding. And it is very expensive to do what we are doing. For the folks who support us on Patreon, I cannot thank you guys enough. Because of the training schedule that I've had, that I've put out there. And I'm having to travel a lot for classes this summer, and I'm really, really excited to do that. I got the readout communications course out in Wyoming coming up next week, all next week. And man, I'm chomping at the bit to get out there. But what I will say is that for you folks on Patreon, I am planning on doing podcasts just to answer your questions that you posed on there. And we're also planning on a giveaway, a monthly giveaway, as best we can. So the giveaway is going to be a piece of gear, something you've seen that we've written a review on. And, you know, whenever you buy one piece of gear, you buy two, right? So we'll buy a second one, and whatever it is, whether it's a knife, you know, pair of boots, a tarp, a hammock, you know, some rucksack, something, whatever it is, you know, you guys that are supporting us on Patreon, you'll be entered into a drawing, and you'll get that piece of gear. So, you know, don't think that because you're supporting us that, you know, we're not grateful, or you know, don't ever think that. It's just the fact that we're all kind of doing this part-time, and this project is so huge. But you know, I am transitioning into doing this full-time, and once I do, things are going to get better. They're going to get more stable. But also, you know, hey, you're not a Patreon supporter, and believe me, I'm not out there begging for anybody's money. But what I will say is that we have a number of site supporters and affiliates. Go check them out, all right? Palmetto State Armory is one that you hear me push a lot because they put out some really, really good products for some really, really great prices, for some common man, working class prices on really good products. Their AKs are great. I can't find an issue with them. I've got two of their AKs on hand right now. I wrote a post up and had it up about a week ago, modernizing the Kalashnikov. I'm using their AKP, and man, I'm going to tell you what, I absolutely love this firearm. And I'm going to be talking more about that firearm here in a second. But, you know, our other affiliates, Primary Arms, Good Optics, Common Working Man Prices, these are affordable options because we are all on a budget, folks. We are all on a budget, right? And some of our budgets are a little larger than others. But I'm going to tell you, Primary Arms, putting out good product for a good price. Gun Mag Warehouse, how many mags you got for your weapons? Yeah, not enough, right? Not enough. That should always be the answer. Not enough. Go get some more mags. Gun Mag Warehouse, right? You got to look cool while doing it, right? Ranger Up. There you go. Freedom Fatigues, another up-and-coming company that's putting out some really cool shirts for the veteran community. The guy is a vet that owns the company. Another company is self-owned. Got a lot of respect for them. Ranger Up down in Durham, North Carolina. Another self-owned company. Former Ranger officer. Really solid dude. You know, they need no introduction. Go support them as well. And of course, Moose Jaw, you know, if you want to have some of the best, nicest camping equipment, survival equipment out there, Moose Jaw is the people to buy from. They just launched their own in-house brand of camping equipment called Lithic. And I am going to be picking up a couple packs from them when I get back from Wyoming. I am in the market for a 65-liter pack, and Lithic is making one. And I'm picking one up, and I'm going to put it through its paces. and I'm going to see, you know, what it does. And I am going to be in close contact with Moose Jaw to, you know, give him some feedback on what I like, what I don't like. And of course, you know, it's more camping equipment oriented, but still, it's pretty cool, right? How much ammo you got? You know, Palmetto State Armory this year, at the beginning of the year when they had their media days, their industry days, they said, you know, our goal this year is to not be the top weapons seller out there. We want to be the top ammo seller out there. So how much ammo you got? Not enough, right? Not enough. I don't care if you're sitting on a doggone warehouse of ammo. You don't have enough ammo. You never have enough ammo. So, you know, if you're the guy that's stuck back there thinking, you know, hey, I got, you know, 1,500 rounds for my AR. Well, that's fine. How are you going to train others to use that AR? You thought about that? I think about that. So, folks, it's something to think about. And, of course, we've got our site supporters, ammo.com. Again, you know, how much ammo? How much ammo you got? Ammo.com. They got good prices. They've got a good selection on pretty much everything. A lot of places are sold out and are selling out quickly and are having a hard time keeping up with the demand on 5.56, 12 gauge, 22, 9mm, 7.62 by 39, and 308. Ammo.com's got a steady supply incoming. Let's go check them out as well, folks. And I'm not telling you this stuff because, you know, we're necessarily getting rich off of it. We're not. Believe me. This is not one of those websites that makes a ton of money. I do this, and I do this exclusively because we need to get the best products and the best stuff out to you. And the only way that we can put that content out there and protect ourselves in the process is by covering our bases. We have to go the expensive route. We have to buy the server space that we inhabited. We had to buy that. We had a major DDoS attack that came from China that took us offline for a while. It took the whole server that we were on offline. And in order to mitigate that, we had to make some changes on our end, but one of them was to buy our own server. This stuff is expensive, folks. It is expensive, but it's worth doing. All right, welcome back. Do I want to share with you a real-world community defense story? So we've got a lot of riots going on in the major cities. We've got a lot of anarchy and looting and everything else that's going on. And a lot of the country is fixated on the big cities where this stuff is going on. But right now, to you folks that are listening, I'm going to issue you a very dire warning. This stuff is coming to your town. No matter how small or insignificant you think your town is, oh, they won't come to suburbia. We're armed to the teeth, right? As that sheriff down in Florida said, you know, oh, don't go to suburbia. They'll shoot you. I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure about that because, number one, you have to have prior warning, right? You got to know they're coming. Well, how do you know they're coming? Number two, are you willing to cross that bridge into violence? See, we have two basic instincts in our brain, fight or flight. All animals have it, fight or flight. You either stand your ground, fight, face that death, or you run away and live to fight another day, right? You're either predator or prey. And for a lot of folks, if they've never faced their own mortality and they've never been put in that fight or flight situation, they don't necessarily know what they're going to do. You see, with the veteran community, a lot of folks like to talk about post-traumatic stress disorder, right? And, you know, I've had to talk to some folks, as my Marine Raider buddy calls it, the wizard. We had another word for him when I was in the Army, but won't say it. but go talk to the wizard, right? And they put those four little magic letters down on your file, right? All PTSD really is when you've experienced that fight or flight instinct. It's a switch. Switch it on. You never switch it back off, right? So if you've never faced that situation, that scenario where violence was imminent and you knew that it was, and possibly your life was threatened, you have no way of knowing how you're going to react. And it doesn't matter how many classes you've been to or, you know, how badass you think you are with a weapon, whatever the weapon might be, you're going to default to your highest level of training, for number one. And that's for all of us, experienced or non-experienced. But for the non-experienced, the best way I explain it was, for me, it was just like the first time I shot a deer. Your legs shake uncontrollably. Your mind is completely numb. You have no idea what you're going to do. When it comes to your town, and it will, what are you going to do? So I'm going to share with you a real-world community defense story that occurred just the other night. My very close friend, former Marine Raider, and some other childhood friends who are all now adults. So I get the call from a local guy and gave me a heads up. Said, hey, we've got word that came from the sheriff's department and has been sent over to the clerk of court. And the clerk of court had sent it to him saying, hey, you know, there's going to be activists that are coming down out of Virginia into North Carolina, and they're going to be protesting in the county square tonight. We don't know what time. We don't know when they're going to be there. But the sheriff's department has got specific information saying that Antifa is going to be part of the crowd and they're expecting something to happen. And I said, okay. I said, go on and forward me that text just so I can get a look at specifically what's being said. So I took a look at it. I said, all right, yep, this is serious. You know, the person that sent it, it's the real deal. They're real world bona fides, right? Gotta go. So immediately I turn, call my buddy, former Marine Raider, and he left work, you know, and it wasn't a, it was a very short conversation. It wasn't a, any kind of, I'm gonna convince you or like coach you. It was a, hey, this is happening. All right, roger that. Gotta go. So I knew that for the most part, what we were going to be doing, what our mission was going to be, is defense. And specifically, I turned and, put my phone down, started getting my gear ready, right? I've got my go bag, that has some medical gear in it. My own IFAC that I have for myself, but also extra medical gear for anybody else that's going to be injured that's attached to that go bag. I've also got water in there, and because water is critical all the time, as well as extra ammunition and batteries and my Steno equipment, night vision. I've got spare batteries. I've got a thermal unit that's in there. And I loaded all that gear into the truck. It's time to go, right? I had my other friend call me and say, hey, man, I'm leaving work. He has a parent that works up at the clerk of court's office, and say, hey, you know, I just got a heads up that I need to head home because he needed to be there to protect his business, which was right there in the town square. So he needed to head home and grab his stuff because of the threat that was specifically laid out. So our plan was pretty hasty, but we were going to link up We had a couple other guys. One is an insurance agent who's got his, the other's a propane guy in town. And we're talking about a small rural town here. You know, the county itself is pretty sparse and it's pretty rural. So why in the world would they be coming here, right? Well, the reason they were coming there is the courthouse itself has special significance to North Carolina, and it has special significance in the Revolutionary War period, the Civil War period, and then into the Reconstruction era. And there's a whole lot of history there. It's one of the most historical sites in North Carolina as a whole, but specifically in the region. And that's where they were going to be. Well, we got to protect that. Not necessarily the courthouse. It's not my job, but I need to protect my friends' businesses, right? Now, I'm not out there. I'm not going to go out there and protest one thing or another or counter-protest or engage in any of that. I don't care. Hey, look, as being specific, you know, if you think somebody's been treated unfairly or you think something's unfair, you got your First Amendment right to get out there. And I full on wholeheartedly support that. But this going and burning down people's property, this terrorizing people in urban areas, terrorizing people, threatening folks online, doxing people, taking them offline, canceling free speech, talking about revolution. Oh, no. No, 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 not at all. That is not America. That's not the America I fought for. Hell no. Right? So, we show up. The march itself, then there was one, seemed fairly peaceful for the most part. Still during daylight hours. Hey, no harm, no foul. Get out there, do your thing. You know, I might disagree with you on certain things, on certain specifics, but you have a right to do that. And I don't have any problem in the world with that. You get out there, do your thing, right? What we were worried about was coming after dark. So we head back, we link up, kind of on standby. Really reminded me of in Iraq when we would be on QRF, just kind of hanging out with our gear there. You know, waiting, eating a little bit of food, a little bit of takeout. And the grocery store in town had shut down early and barricaded all the doors with the grocery carts while leaving all the lights on. The parking lots were completely empty out in front of this place. And there's a couple of fast food restaurants out there. They were completely empty too. But what was weird was for a night in the middle of the week with COVID going on and all this other stuff, why the motel was full of cars. And this motel might have 30 rooms, right? This motel's full of cars, and they were all from out of state. And not just Virginia either, but from long ways away. And that's where they all were. After dark, we noticed that there were some folks who were clearly not from the area that were walking around, and they were filming things with their phones. Now, I'm not going to stop them and ask them what they're doing, because to be perfectly honest, I don't have a right to do that, and I don't really care, and they're not being violent. But they didn't speak like they were from North Carolina, or even from the South, for that matter, and they were filming things very slow. Now, I was born at night, but it won't last night. I know what they were doing. They were casing the place, see what they could do, see what they could get away with. And they knew that we were out there. You got to be ready. You got to stand ready. We were out there until well into the wee hours of the morning. It was almost daylight by the time we left. I had a digital scanner and I had a Baofeng radio. I was able to monitor the State Bureau of Investigation's helicopter unit that was on station. They had another surveillance air asset that was on station. I was monitoring both of those, and I was able to monitor the sheriff's dispatch. monitored all of it. Right there, right off the tailgate of my truck. You have to have that capability for that situational awareness. It's something that I've talked about. It's something that other folks have talked about in intelligence training courses. And you need that training, whether it's me putting it out there or it's others putting it out there. But you need to have it, right? You need to know how to do that. And you need to know how to do it rapidly. But I was able to do that. So we were getting that real-time S2. That situational awareness, S2's intelligence. We're getting it in real time. I knew exactly where they were. All right? I knew the directions they were going to be coming from. So, what else are some of the takeaways from all that? Well, I think a big one is that all my guys had AKs. You know, I knew that one of those business owners is a real big fan of the AK. Got into him because the ammo was always real cheap. And so he was running one of those. So that was what I brought along as well. My former Marine Raider buddy, he's a big AK fan. You know, we got into AKs kind of around the same time. And matter of fact, long before he and I were in the military, we went to our first gun show together and bought our first AKs, you know, a couple of ratty old Wasser 10s, and got into them because they were cheap, and they were dirt cheap back then. You know, I was running my AKP, and, you know, I had spare mags for everybody. So, you know, a couple of the guys that were there, out there protecting their businesses in case anything had went down, and fortunately it didn't. You know, these are guys who I've known for a long time and am friends with and have a lot of respect for, but tactical training kind of has always been a backseat to them because they've had more important stuff to do. You know, they've had their businesses to run. They would rather than spending money on training, they would rather go buy an RV or, you know, buy a boat and, you know, hang out on the lake on the weekends. And, you know, why spend the weekend hot and sweaty and in the dirt or sitting in a classroom when, you know, I could be out having fun with my family? And, hey, I totally understand that, you know. But once we got out there and it was real world time, they started asking me questions that were really critical. You know, well, hey, you know, I got one of those bow things, like you said, but I mean, I have no idea what I'm doing with it. And one of them had just taken his out of the box and the plastic was still on it. You know, so right there on the fly, I'm having to give them an impromptu, when I was in the Army, what we called hip pocket training on getting this commo squared away. And rather than admonish these guys and be like, huh, you know, told you so and thumb my nose at them, it's more like, hey, you know, let me show you how to work this real quick. Let me give you a quick and dirty, you know. And that was that. Come up with a competent plan, a real world plan. So what we did was we killed all the lights to the businesses. We cut all the lights out. Gave them a quick and dirty on using night vision real quick. How IR lasers work, how the infrared laser works on a night vision unit. And, you know, now they saw the relevance on buying night vision and an infrared laser. You know, all this stuff is critically important. And now they see that when you have that basic weapons set up, you know, where maybe you've got a tack light on it at best, you know, you're still going to end up falling short. And that's why investing in night vision is so doggone important as well, right? As well as the IR laser. And, you know, they really saw the advantage that offered at night and in low light situations, you know, when you don't know where those rounds are coming from and you're the real hunter, you know, your adversary doesn't know where it's coming from. You know, it's a big force multiplier and it's one that you need to have. But also, standardization matters. You know, I really love running the AR, and I've got some great AR setups. But if everybody else on my team is using an AK because that's just what they like, or that's what they happen to have, or that's what they shoot and they are competent with, then I need to be standardized with them so that we can share mags. And, you know, I have a couple ammo cans that are full of mags at the ready. That's a grab and go, you know, for that very situation. So, you know, people can call me crazy, but that's fine. But they definitely called me to come help them out when the time came, right? You know, and that's not me beating my own drum. That's just saying, hey, look, this is real world stuff. The other thing that I'm going to tell you is that being in a very rural part of North Carolina, you wouldn't think that we would have an issue with these things or that this would be a threat. And yet it is. Folks, it's not going to be long before they're pushing out into the rural areas, because those are easier victories. So yeah, everybody out in the rural areas can be armed to the teeth, right? And I like to think, you know, well, we're all, you know, a bunch of Hank Williams Jr. listening, you know, rebel flag flying, tobacco chewing, good old boys, you know, they know how to take care of business. And that might be true on a man-to-man basis, but you got to know when they're going to be there. You got to get that heads up. And if you don't know what you don't know, you might be in a whole lot of trouble. They could score some real quick, easy victories before anything even happens. Had a commenter on AP just a couple days ago who had commented, and this gentleman, I know some things about him, his background and whatnot, and he is a very legitimate guy, probably got one of the strongest resumes of anybody that comments on the site. And, you know, he was talking about some things that went on around just outside of Fort Bragg about a decade ago, where the sheriff of one of the counties right outside of Fort Bragg met with the local townsfolk in one of the churches, saying basically, I can't protect you. I'm not able to protect you. You know, my deputies can't be everywhere at once at night. And we've got a rash of violent breaking and enterings where people are being assaulted. And there was a murder in there as well. I was victimized in that. I was. Long story short, I wasn't home. I was out at a training exercise, and my significant other had went home. We're both from North Carolina, and had went home for the weekend because, you know, she didn't want to sit home by herself. And I come back, and my front door is wide open, and the back door had been kicked in, and they had pulled my gun safe out. Got away with a lot, right? We found out who did it. And, you know, I got a couple of the firearms back, but most of them that were there had went away and were gone. Well, the guys didn't stop with one victory. They figured they were going to come back a few more times, and a couple times scared them off. You know, they were coming at night. Once they came during the day, and, the old lady was at home. And she knows how to take care of business, too. And they went away. They came back that last time. And one of them got caught by me. I held him there. It was in early January. I held him there. I had an AMD 65. Which, in case you don't know what that is, it is a AK variant. It was made by TGI, Tennessee Guns International. They built them out of kits, and it was a beautiful, beautiful AK. Very interesting looking AK. But got him down. I hadn't been back from Afghanistan long when this happened. And I held him there. And it was cold. Until he got escorted away. He knew the deal. So, on that note, I'll tell you that quote by famous police commissioner from Philadelphia, Frank Rizzo, who said, "A liberal is just a conservative who hasn't been mugged yet." And it's true. It's true. Your safety, your security, and your responsibility is on you. You got to be ready for that fight. And folks, there's something in the air. There's something in the air right now. Your responsibility to be ready for the fight is on you. It's 100% on your shoulders. What are you doing with your time? This isn't a riot of just folks who are mad, right? Yeah, there's some folks that are upset about police brutality, and they got a right to be. They got a right to be. But there's a whole lot of other folks that this was just a prime opportunity, and I don't think they're going to let it go away. To me, it looks a whole lot like the Samson option. Everything else has failed. Everything else has failed, and this is the last step they have. So, to take a quote from Julius Caesar, "Cry havoc, let slip the dogs of war." Be ready for the fight, folks. Going back to night vision, you need it. And quite frankly, I am surprised that night vision hasn't been restricted already. You know, when you can get top notch, you know, better than what I was issued when I was in the Army, equipment off the shelf, you know, you really need to take advantage of it. Yeah, it's expensive. I've had some folks ask me questions, you know, "Hey, Scout, is, you know, what's the best unit I can get for cheap?" And I always tell them the same thing. Buy Gen 3 or don't do it at all. Okay. You know, there's some Gen 1 units that are out there, you know, but you really have to use the IR intensifiers to really be able to use it. And, you know, anybody that's ever seen an IR intensifier, you know, the IR illuminator, rather, it looks like a flashlight on your head. So, you know, if anybody's surveilling you with that also has night vision, you know, you're just putting a giant beacon on yourself. So the other thing is that Gen 1 tubes deteriorate a lot faster over time. They lose their quality a lot faster over time. You know, and the stuff that's out there today, the PVS-14s that are out there, you know, yeah, you're going to be spending $2,000 at least on Gen 3. But I have PID. I have positive identification that I'm able to see, you know, out to a much further distance, right, with better clarity. And PID is critically important. You know, if you got night vision on and you're trying to keep your place secure, well, you know, you get on that witness stand when, you know, you have to answer for what happened. You know, yeah, I was wearing night vision, and this was the set, and here you can look through it. You know, yeah, I had positive identification. I could clearly identify that was a threat, right? Those are all advantages of having Gen 3, and yeah, it's expensive. But Bob Griswold over at Ready Made Resources, he's constantly getting units in, high-quality units in, that he is working directly with the manufacturers out there. And what he's telling me is that if you're wanting to get night vision, you need to get it now, because there is a major run on those units and they have to be built. There's anywhere from a 30 to 60 day lead time on getting them built from the time that they are ordered. And these guys are already working at max capacity, right? So get out there and get them. In the next episode, in episode 21, we're going to be talking about setting up your equipment to fight at night. Exactly how to do that. We had some Patreon commenters that were asking questions along those lines a couple weeks ago. And I'm going to dive real deep into that. My own setup, pretty much all my weapons are similarly set up to fight at night. What you should look for in an IR laser, the IR lasers that I use on my weapon, and then finally how to zero them. And if you're interested in diving into the topic deeper, I got a carbine course coming up in July where I'm going to be doing that. There's going to be a nighttime component to it as well. Fighting during the day and fighting at night. And that's going to be July 11th and 12th. Looking over the training calendar, we've got a bunch of good stuff coming up. You know, I would say training right now, getting yourself squared away is probably the most important thing that you could be doing. RTO and advanced RTO, 25th through the 28th of June in Wisconsin. So that is a three-day course, and I'm putting both those classes together, right? 25th through the 28th of June in Wisconsin. So if you're not able to travel outside of the northern Midwest, and I totally get that, come on out, man. Get you squared away, get your communication squared away off grid. As I said, fighting carbine day and night, 11th through the 12th of July here in North Carolina at my range. And we're going to be doing our nighttime stuff too. So you're going to get a chance to use your weapons, familiarize yourself with your weapons at night, as well as learning how to use night vision. And no, you do not need night vision for this course. You do not need night vision for this course. You can use my equipment. If you don't have that stuff, don't think that you need to buy it just to come out and train. I'm going to be here to take care of you, square you away, right? RTO course here in North Carolina, 1st and 2nd of August. If you want to learn how to communicate, that is the course on how to communicate. And on that note, I have the RTO handbook. I know I've talked about it in the past, put posts up and stuff, but I have it. I have the printed copies of it. You come to the RTO course, you're going to get the RTO handbook. It is designed to be a quick reference to the material in both the RTO and the advanced RTO course. There is going to be a version that will be for sale for folks who don't make it to a class or can't make it to a class. But I will tell you that, you know, it's not a book that you're going to sit down and read while you're on the toilet. It is a quick reference guide to operating techniques and what we do specifically in class. But as I said, there will be a version that will be for sale to the general public. Tracking course. Got a tracking course taught by my very good friend, Holy Surf, who is got a ton of certifications on wilderness tracking, finding people, lost persons in the woods. That's going to be on the 14th and the 16th of August here in North Carolina. Fighting Kalashnikov, 29th through the 30th of August. This is all about the AK. So, you know, hey, maybe you're new to the AK, maybe you're not new to the AK, but we're going to be covering all the drills, magazine reloads, manual of arms, movement, and everything all about the Kalashnikov. And if you don't have an AK, guess what? You're in luck. I got you covered. You'll be able to rent one from me, as long with picking up some ammo. So we got you covered. Scout course, 4th through the 6th of September. That is full. But if you missed out on that, there is going to be another one on the 23rd through the 25th of October over in Tennessee at Ready Made Resources. So if you are looking for the scout course, everything from marksmanship to snooping and pooping in the woods, camouflage and concealment, small unit movements, we're going to be doing it all right there in Tennessee. Bring your walking shoes for that, because I promise, as big as the hills are at my training site over at Ready Made Resources, they are that much more. So you better be logging them miles while you're running. Make sure you're doing some squats, because if not, you're going to be real sore by the end of day three. Readout communications course. So I got that coming up next week, and that course has been full. It sold out almost immediately after I put it up, but I've got another one in September, the 15th through the 20th. That is all three of my communications courses, RTO, Advanced RTO, and the Signals Intelligence course out in Wyoming, all three put together for a week-long course. And then finally, last thing on the calendar, RTO course, 14th through the 15th of November here in North Carolina. And there might be one more class that I put up on the calendar through the end of the year, but that's pretty much it, folks. That's going to be pretty much it for what I do for this year. It's a whole lot of traveling, because it's my mission to give you the absolute best that I can. I give 100% and then some of everything I have to you, to do the very best that I can by you. And it's costly. It's costly. These past few months especially have been extremely stressful. But with that said, pressure makes diamonds. And while things look dark, things might look grim, folks, there's also hope. Give your worries up to God. Something my grandma used to say. Pray before you go to bed. Give all your troubles to the Lord. He'll be up all night working on them. And with that, folks, remember to pray. Pray for our nation. Pray for our nation's leaders. Pray for yourselves. And I'll be praying for your families. God bless you.